therefore, when is there meditation? Meditation arises when there is the alert mind. An alert mind or mindfulness is most important. Hence, mindfulness itself is meditation. Mindfulness plays a wonderful role in our life. It guides our life so we can live being perfectly alive. Attention must always be accompanied with mindfulness. The important thing for meditation is to know or to be perfectly aware of the present momentary states. The concentrated alert mind sometimes happens to perceive a sign, nimitta in Pali, but the roaming, distracted mind builds imaginary castles in the sky. These two states of mind are not of the same kind. They are very different, as a real person is different from his shadow. What then is a nimitta? Here, nimitta is a sign or symbol of anything such as an animal, a human being, a landscape, scenery, a light, or such things. Even far distant objects, impossible to be seen by the ordinary physical eye, may be a nimitta sign during a quiet and clear state of mind in meditation. In other words, nimitta is a thing with the sound clear mind is attentive to and perceives. Hence, nimitta is the best aramana of the alert mind. Some meditation subjects, such as the breaths, constituent parts of the body, corpse and others, can produce or become the nimitta themselves. The more the nimitta is clearly seen, the deeper and calmer is the mind concentrated, naturally collecting attention to it without letting the thoughts go anywhere else. This is the starting point of thought sinking into the actual meditation. Here the nimitta is the base of true meditation development. Nimitta occurs just after the mind becomes calmly detached and ceases unsystematically wandering and before entering jhana absorption. Nimitta, or even what is called clairaudience and clairvoyance, is born between the end of the wandering state of mind and jhana. Therefore, when your mind calms down, being alert and happens with your mental eye to see nimitta sign, do not be excited or surprised or afraid of it. Keep your mind evenly and attentively upon your meditation subject, nimitta. During time of seeing the nimitta, do not compare it with anything else. Do not analyze it. The nimitta can be considered in three classes corresponding to the three levels of meditation. They are as follows. 1. Parikamma nimitta, vision of recitation and meditation subject perceived during the reciting or meditating. It is the visualization by the mind of the object or meditation subject on which the attention focused. 2. Uggaha nimitta, a mentally created, reproduced vision. This is the clear, exact photocopy of the meditation subject, reproduced and perceived by the clear, sound mind during the time of practicing meditation. 3. Patibhaga nimitta, a controlled and tamed vision. Upon reaching this level of vision, the meditator is quite able to tame or control his vision. He can do anything with his mental vision according to his will, should he desire to enlarge and develop his vision up to the size of the whole universe. It can be done. Or should he desire to reduce it to smaller than an atom, it can be done without changing its original identity. For example, suppose the meditator has a vision of water or fire. At his will, he can visualize or see the whole universe as water or fire or anything else. In the same way, he can control it, reducing it to become smaller than an atom and so on. These nimittas are born from the development of meditation. When the deeper level of meditation is developed, the higher level of nimitta is achieved. Generally, the normal level of meditation development is called bhavana or samadhi, and owing to its natural character, it is classified into three levels. They are 1. Parikamma samadhi, the general type of concentration achieved during the period of quietly reciting some holy sutras, or focusing the mind attention on a single meditation subject. This is the first level of general meditation development. This can be achieved frequently from moment to moment, hence parikamma nimitta is perceived by mind here. 2. Upachara samadhi, the approaching to a concentrated state. Upon seeing the uggaha nimitta, this level of meditation is reached. Only upon dependently focusing the whole attention on a material meditation subject can this level of nimitta arise. The material meditation subjects are such as breath, colors, and so forth. When by using a material meditation subject, the mental hindrances such as craving of sense pleasures, worry, and the like are suppressed, then meditation becomes fairly well established with the appearing of the uggaha nimitta in the mind. This is when uggaha nimitta appears, the upachara samadhi is achieved. 3. Appana samadhi, the attainment stage of meditation. With seeing and controlling patibhaga nimitta, the third level of meditation is achieved. This is very deep and is almost entering to the jhana level of meditation. Here the meditator is unconscious of the external world. Thus, when the attention has reached the first level of meditation, parikamma samadhi, the first level of vision, parikamma nimitta, is developed. And in the same way, the second and third levels of meditation also produce the second and third levels of nimitta. In other words, the three levels of nimitta correspond to the above mentioned three levels of samadhi respectively. Here the skillful meditator possibly can automatically realize and measure his meditation levels depending on his nimitta. If he has steady vision, he knows that it is born of steady meditation and so on. The deeper the meditation, the clearer the vision. Remember, the main aim of meditation is to cultivate peace, happiness, mindfulness, and to achieve perfect wisdom and finally liberation or nirvana. That is not to see nimitta or to acquire psychic powers. But often they are heard from the curious and the ambitious questions like, can you sit meditating for many hours without moving? What do you see in your meditation? Can you see everything at once when you meditate closing your eyes? Can you see previous births, heaven, hell, and so forth? And if the answer is no, the questioner disappointedly reacts, oh, as said above, these are not the principal aims of the sincere meditator, though without aiming, craving for them, he may obtain them. The Buddha says that the best of all things to develop is wisdom. Placing more emphasis on the importance of meditation practice, the Buddha recognized those as being potentially good people as those who practice meditation even for a period that equals the time takes for a person to snap his fingers. He is not empty of meditative virtue. Meditate even for a period of time equal to that of a finger snap, and you will get results in proportion to your practice. Thus, there is benefit even from meditating a short time. When a bottle has been filled with dirty water, one cannot see any objects in it because the objects are covered by the dirty water. But when the dirt in it has sunk to the bottom, the objects in it can be seen. Likewise, when the mind has been engrossed with mental stains or defilements, one cannot see anything beyond what the physical eyes see. But when one's mental stains have been thinned out, or better still, have been uprooted, one can see even distant things. The original natural human mind is luminous, but is stained by visiting defilements which come from outside. Mental stains or defilements can be uprooted by mindfulness and wisdom through meditation practice. If your mind really perceives nimitta and is well concentrated, go ahead, letting it do so continuously, and just after emerging from jhana, should you have already entered it, you may direct your mind towards developing its psychic powers. Do it at this stage of mind if you want to develop them. Remember that nothing worthwhile comes easily. Try hard. However, if you eagerly expect too many results or beautiful nimitta and so on, you will not gain them. The mind can think of only one thing at a time. The act of desire, eagerness, disappointment or discouragement and so on is like the act of thinking too. Therefore, when one is too anxious or ambitious to obtain such and such a thing, one cannot obtain it, since at this time he is unsystematically thinking rather than meditating properly. To follow the right and systematic method of developing meditation, even when you see nimitta with your mental eye, do not try to cling, grasp, judge, condemn or evaluate it. When you try to do so, it changes into some false state or disappears immediately. Therefore, let it happen naturally by itself. You should simply observe it as it is. If you compare it with some other things, it can convert into imagination or hallucination. If you are anxious or curious to see it, you will not see it. When darkness is powerfully appearing, light disappears. And when the light is brightly appearing, darkness disappears and vanishes right away. In the same way, when the mental hindrances dominate the meditator, meditation is not born, or if born, it vanishes. But when the meditation is developed energetically and powerfully, the mental hindrances are suppressed. Meditation sharpens the mind, whereas the mental hindrances dull the mind. Meditation must be practiced with much patience. Remember even how when you fix the thread in a small needle hole, much careful attention and patience is needed. In the same way, to fix your wandering thought onto the meditation subject, it would not be too easy. But do not be discouraged and remember that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Eventually, you will reach the final destination. Sincerely persevering meditators have the opportunity to be successful in attaining the ultimate good, nirvana. Therefore, now I would like to draw your attention to the development of meditation. The cultivation of the mind establishes maturity of knowledge, self-possessedness, and self-collectedness. Here the meditator dwells free and independent of all attachment to the world. In meditation, one vividly sees reality. Not only is one conscious of all movements and the awareness of permanent entity, but also one knows all that has origin, has cessation. One meditates on the nature of body, mind, feelings, and mental objects. One's meditation gives one the true knowledge of all materiality, mentation, the origin, genesis of mind and matter, the passing away of mind and matter, and also the arising and disappearing of feeling, perception, cognition, and other mental activities. Meditation is the best path to reach to all that is the best in human life and to enlightenment. For instance, meditation paves the way to the development of tolerance and patience, religious merits and wisdom. Eventually, it leads to the summum bonum nirvana. Wisdom springs from meditation and concentration. Without meditation, wisdom weakens or decreases. The Buddha said, "There is no meditation in a person who has no wisdom, nor is there wisdom in him who has no meditation, in whom there are both meditation and wisdom. He is in the vicinity of nirvana." Mindfulness and wisdom are closely connected with meditation. The Buddha said that mindfulness is the only way leading to the purification of beings, to passing beyond grief and lamentation, the dying out of ill and misery, the attainment of right method to the realization of nirvana. When meditative virtue is developed, it can lead one to the cessation of pain stemming from the cycle of birth and death. The entire state of meditator's mind, body, and attention is concerned with his subjective experience. In an advanced meditative state, the meditator does not separate himself from his process of knowing and his meditation object. Those who mindfully practice meditation find the way. Real knowledge is awareness that the process of knowing and the known are one. Negative aspects of mental attributes are regarded as hindrances, and the means of state of them are called remedy. When one or more of these mental hindrances persist, meditation cannot be developed. There are five mental hindrances, which are the following. 1. Exciting desire for sensual pleasure or lust, which can be described as a craving for pleasures with the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or any combination. 2. Ill will or poisonous mind, which functions to harm others, oneself, or both. 3. Sloth and torpor, the state of physical idleness and mental drowsiness. 4. Distraction and flurry, a kind of unsteadiness or anxiety that arises in a troubled or disturbed mind. 5. Doubt, perplexity, or uncertainty of mind. Unsystematic attention is the main cause of the arising, developing, and maturing of doubt and wavering. Only by removing or eradicating these five mental hindrances can one develop meditation. If you want to enjoy the marrow, you have to crack the bone. Similarly, one has to abandon these clouds of mental hindrances before one reaches and enjoys meditative bliss and attains profound wisdom. Meditators who are aloof from sensual indulgence, corruption, and base ideas gradually or rapidly enter into and dwell at various levels of deep meditation called jhana. There are two kinds of jhana, one with form, rupa jhana, and the other without form, arupa jhana, both of which consist of several different levels. In principle, rupa jhana has four different levels. They are as follows. 1. The first stage of Rupa Jhana is composed of five different attributes, namely applied thought, sustained thought, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness of mind. These are all empty of sensual indulgence and other unwholesome thoughts. These are born of solitude and detachment. One may also say that joy and happiness are born of cogitation, deliberation, and one-pointedness of mind. In the second stage of Rupa Jhana, consciousness is subtler than the first level, transcending applied and sustained thoughts. This second stage of consciousness retains only three attributes, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness of mind. Here the mind grows calm and sure sublime. The third state is more profound than the second jhana and is composed only of happiness and one-pointedness of mind. The meditator in this jhana dwells calmly, is contemplative, vividly mindful, and self-possessed. The fourth state transcends even the happiness of meditative bliss. The meditator retains only the profundity of firm balance of mind. This is the most advanced of all stages of Rupa Jhana. The meditative mind, while underlined by pure mindfulness, stands unshakably beyond pain and pleasure, having abandoned both happiness and unhappiness. The different kinds and various levels of jhanas are stages of consciousness and names of plants in which the meditator is reborn and abides after death. Rupa jhana is called meditation with form because to obtain realization, the meditator uses material, substantial forms or objects, such as the breath as a meditation object. The state of consistent meditation practice and the persistent laying hold of right mindful one-pointedness of mind is essential in order to attain higher and deeper meditation. The meditator becomes dissatisfied only by seeing grossness, imperfection, and impermanence. It is from this realization that the meditator can become detached. Once the meditator achieves this level of understanding, he then moves on to other higher, finer, and more perfect levels of meditation, leaving the old stages behind. If the meditator is satisfied and attached to what has already been attended, he cannot go further. The meditator attains all form advanced levels of meditation which have a material basis as their objects. The meditator, however, still finds imperfection and impermanence in all stages of meditation with form and rightly believes that there must be still finer, more perfect, and more profound ways of meditation. Based upon that fourth stage of meditation, the meditator aspires to ascend to higher, finer levels of meditation, free of forms as their objects. At higher levels, there are no forms as meditation objects. Instead, the meditator first meditates upon air or ether. In this manner, the meditator begins formless meditation, arupa jhana. The object of arupa jhana is formless, such as space, consciousness, and so on. Formless meditation is of four kinds. Each succeeding state is superior to the preceding one. They are as follows. One, meditation based upon the thought of infinite space. By this term, it is meant that the meditator's sole attention is fixed upon the realization, observation of the space infinity place. Two, meditation based upon the thought of infinite consciousness sphere. This level of meditation attains the sound knowledge of the plan of the infinity of consciousness. 3. Meditation directed upon the thought of nothingness. At this stage, the meditator's entire thought is without any obstructions. 4. Meditation that leads to the realization state of neither perception nor non-perception. At this point, the meditation is so profound, subtle, and mysterious that the meditator can hardly describe the achieved state in which he dwells as neither perception nor non-perception. The highest stage of meditation is perfectly defined as that state wherein all perception and feeling cease to exist, underlined by perfectly full alertness alone. The attainment of these fundamental kinds of meditation is described in the early Buddhist texts. It is important to keep in mind that to attain any such meditation levels, intellectual development alone would not help. Mindfulness, energetic effort, self-confidence, concentration, and intuitive wisdom or insight are essential factors for all stages of meditation. The devotee of meditation, however, is encouraged to attain nirvana by realizing that even such advanced meditation is impermanent. Nirvana or enlightenment alone is the summum bonum, the ultimate goal of Buddhist practice, and this is the end of the explanation of the meditation principles and practice. Due to the power of our meditation and of our Lord Buddha, may their majesties and may we all attain to nirvana bliss.